Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, episode number 41. I am Crew Chief Tony, here with the Professor Brandon Kraut. How are you, man?
What up? How are you?
Good, good.
It's been an interesting few days, man.
It has.
Like, horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
seen better days.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Wow.
But
well, we got a big show lined up today.
We do.
And we got lots to talk about. We've round one of the playoffs over. Got the Xfinity and Truck guys in the middle of their first round. We got Ryan Truex and Ben Rhodes coming on
and
the show.
Ben Rhodes,
I
right.
mean,
fresh off a win.
That's awesome. So we're gonna talk to Ryan. Then we're going to do our truck stuff a little bit, and then we're going to wrap up our truck discussion with a phone call from Ben Rhodes.
Which is cool.
That's badass, man.
Yeah. That was first win, right?
First win, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's, hey, we're on a roll.
Yeah.
Take it.
I'm liking it. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Lindsay and I went up to Frankenmuth, Michigan, which, if you haven't heard about that place, it's got the world's largest Christmas store, which I was in my glory.
Right.
So we stopped there for a little bit. Went to a restaurant named after you called Tony's. I tweeted a picture out. People think I'm messing around when I say a pound of bacon on a sandwich.
Oh, no, not a joke. You get a BLT. They literally put a pound of bacon on it.
We sat right at the expo line at the counter. I almost didn't want to eat because I just kept seeing like all of this massive amount of like heart attack on a plate being brought out to people. And I'm like, I'm not really that hungry anymore.
That place is jammed all the time.
It was not a line. I don't care what time of day you're there. You're standing in a line.
Yeah.
That's cool. How about you?
That's a good trip.
Yeah.
You know, just my daughter played softball. That took up part of the weekend. But good racing. You know?
Awesome
I
racing.
Had to catch up a little bit, but it was good racing all the way around.
Tony, one other note over the weekend, we cracked 15,000 downloads.
I did see that.
Dude.
That was 15,000 downloads, you guys. This is so far beyond anything we could have ever imagined.
Yep. It's out of control. I mean, out of control.
If you told me it was 150, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
that
sounds about right.
Yeah.
Tony, yeah, man, last couple of days, the incident in Las Vegas, that's just, it's tragic. Like, I can't even wrap my brains around that. What?
I've been in that lot. They do a lot of events in that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Right there, and I can't.
It's
in the farthest depths of my brain. I can't get my arms around that.
You know,
Robert Yates.
Tom Petty.
I don't want to dig into any of that.
No.
I mean, we all know about it. It's awful. But how about this? Do something kind,
right,
for someone, like today. I went through drive-thru at lunchtime. I paid for the ladies behind me.
Very cool.
I mean, you know, you don't even have to do that. You can compliment someone. You can, you know, whatever. Just how about if we all start being nice?
Better place.
I'm not going to be that much more nicer to you, but other people. Other people are in.
Dick. Well, Tony, you ready to talk to Ryan?
Yeah, he's on the phone, isn't he?
Sounds good.
All right, joining us on the line is the driver of the number 16 Toyota Tundra for Hattori Enterprises, Ryan Truex. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Welcome to the show. Man, heck of a run you guys have been on. Started on the pole in Vegas. Tell us about the last couple weeks. This has been, you guys got some momentum rolling here.
Yeah. It seems like we've really hit our stride these past few weeks as the summer started to close out. And it's kind of frustrating in a way because we missed the playoffs by 0 points. We missed it on a tiebreaker. And
absolutely,
you know,
brutal.
We've been so strong. And it's a little frustrating. But at the same time, just to be running this well and as a first year team to, you know, be racing with the four truck and the 29 truck, really the class of the field, says a lot about how hard my team works and how far we've come in such a short time.
No, it is. It's totally impressive.
Can you walk us through Vegas a little bit? You know, the stages and where you guys went from the track perspective and bringing it home.
Yeah, it was a tough day. Vegas race is a one day show. So we show up the track really early. I think the garage opened at like 6 a.m. So the guys had a really long day, and we practice at 8:30 in the morning, and you only get a half an hour between the two practices. So there's not a lot of time. If you miss it, not a lot of time to really sit back and go over notes and really think about what you want for the second practice. You kind of just have to, show up and be good. And luckily we did. We showed up with the same package we had at Chicago, which we ran really well with. So we were confident in that. And that's our newest truck that we're most confident in, that we've run 3 or 4 times, and it's run top 5 every time. So we knew what we needed going in, and we were able to execute, and we were able to put it on the pole again. So that was really cool. That's 2 poles in a row for that truck. So we're really happy with that. And yeah, in the race, we started off, and I kind of made a mistake on the initial start. I tried to move up in front of the 21 truck, just because I thought he was going to get a run off of turn 2, and I ended up getting put 3 wide. So kind of made a mistake there. And then after that, we were just kind of riding, and I think we were 4th or 5th the first stage, just biding our time. Then we had that big wreck on the front straightaway with Sauter and all those guys, which I think we missed that by like 1 inch, which was just crazy.
Sauter's truck looked like
you had 3/4 of an inch to spare. What are you talking about?
they looked like they dragged that thing out from behind the shop, you know?
It was honestly, there wasn't much I could do. I just stood on the brake pedal and kind of closed my eyes and hope I'd make it through. When you're in a situation like that and you slow down really, really quick, a lot of times you get hit from behind. Sure. So I thought I was all right in the front, but I didn't know what was going to come from behind. You're kind of blind on restarts there, especially with the sun beating right down in your eyes into turn 4. So I think that might have played a factor into why the wreck happened to begin with, just because that time of day there, the sun is just right in your eyes, and there's really not much you can do about it. But anyway, we stayed out of that. And after that, for some reason, we had transmission issues. I don't know if it was from slowing down so quick or what. So we had a little bit of trouble on restarts after that. And Scott Zibidelli and the guys called a great race. My pit crew gave great stops. And we were in position for at least a top 2 finish at the end there on that long run. And I felt like we were starting to close down on Chris Bell for the lead. He had a few seconds on me there with, I think, maybe 10 or 11 laps to go. And the caution came out and bunched us all back up. And it was kind of a sitting duck on that restart. And the restarts really are where you really where you make your passes in the truck series, because we're all so bunched up and stuck together. So I kind of got freight train there a little bit, and racing with the 98 truck there on the, I think there was 4 or 5 laps to go, racing for 4th. He just got loose under me and got up into me. So that was the end of that. Luckily, our truck's not hurt too bad. We really like that truck, so we're...
Yeah, I think you might want to take extra care of that one.
I mean, it was tough, man. I hated that I even put it in the fence. When you're a small team like we are, you've always got that in the back of your mind.
Sure.
Especially when it's your best truck, you know you need that. And we really want to run that truck at Texas because we know how fast it is. And the tough thing with the truck series is you have to be so aggressive on every restart, every chance you have to pass somebody, because once it starts to get strung out, it's tough to pass. And with the trucks, we're all kind of going the same speed, and we're all wide open at these mile and a half tracks. So it's really tough to move around to pass somebody just because you're kind of going terminal velocity on the bottom of the racetrack. So restarts are huge. So you've got to be super aggressive. But for someone in my position, at the same time, you have to be thinking about the truck and knowing that you have to take it to the next race, or you have to take it to the track in 2 weeks. So it's really tough to find that line. It's a really fine line between being too aggressive and being too cautious, which when you do that, you're just going to get put in a bad spot and taken advantage of. So that's definitely something you have to focus on.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Ryan, you mentioned, a bummer on how you guys missed the playoffs. You guys have put together a great season so far. That said, what's the focus these last 5 races? Are you guys in test mode for next year, looking to play spoiler? What's the focus for the rest of 2017 with the team?
We just want to win, honestly. That's our number one goal, and that's our only goal.
I like it.
Hell yeah. That's what we're racing. Go racing.
We're motivated, man. Missing the playoffs, I think, just made us mad. And we want to prove that we deserve to be there. We want to prove that we can beat these guys. And you know, we've been close these past few weeks. I feel like we've really turned it up and we've really, you know, hit our stride and proven that we're a championship caliber team. I think the toughest thing for us was we got a late start on the year. I didn't sign up. Myself and Scott Zipidelli both didn't sign up until January. So we didn't really have much time to prepare for the season. We were using older equipment and it wasn't really built to Scott's liking. So we kind of went into R&D mode at the beginning of the year. And it showed the first few races. I think Charlotte or Kansas was our first race with a chassis that Scott wanted to run. And I think we finished fifth or sixth. So once that happened, we started to really run well. And we had a tough stretch. I think June or July, just bad luck. Things out of our control happened. We lost an engine and things like that you can't really control. But really, really the biggest thing is just keep building our equipment, prove we deserve to be here, and hopefully we can win some races and go into 2018 with some momentum and compete for a championship next year.
Yeah, no, well, it's clearly you guys have a good team. And you hit on it earlier, talking about the two practices at Vegas. You had a half an hour in between. If you're off a half an hour, you don't have time to be changing springs and, you know, start taking swings at stuff. They brought a truck off the trailer that was ready to go. So, I mean, that speaks a lot to your team, right? So I think that's very impressive. Especially what you guys are doing as a smaller team. And to your point, you know, we had who do we have on? Jeremy Clements we had on right after he won at Road America, and he had just wrecked that car. You know, they're a small team and they had to put a front clip on it, and he said, "Well, we had to do it that week because our backup car is a total piece of junk." You know? So I understand that, you know, you want to be aggressive as you can, but you also have to be mindful of, hey man, this is an unlimited resource. You know, here. So,
exactly.
I get that. So when you're racing, you're going to tracks, especially new tracks and stuff. I mean, do you bounce stuff off of Martin at all?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like this past weekend at Vegas, I haven't been there in 3 or 4 years. I last ran there in a cup car in 2014. So the tracks changed a bit and I didn't really know what to expect. So I talked to him before the race. Obviously, he kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
a little bit.
He left there with the trophy. So, yeah, I mean, I bounce stuff off him all the time. Really, it's more track-related stuff than anything. You can kind of dive into the setup stuff a little bit, but the cup and the truck stuff is just so different now that a lot of it doesn't even apply. So, really, I focus on just getting info on the tracks. He goes everywhere. Just about everywhere twice a year, so it's definitely a big help for me, and I feel like that kind of gives me a bit of a leg up on the competition.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
No, and you know, that's the one downfall. You know, we see Cup goes to a lot of tracks twice. We really don't have that with the truck series, so it's, you know, one shot and then hope you can get your notes right together for next year. Speaking of next year, you know, NASCAR announced some rules changes for the Cup side for next year. Ryan, is there anything you'd like to see NASCAR make as far as a rule change, whether it be on the trucks themselves, track schedule, points, anything like that you think would be good from a NASCAR perspective for the Camping World Truck Series?
For the truck series, man, I don't know. I love the series how it is, but I love short tracks. I love road courses. I really would love some more road courses because I think the trucks are so much fun on road courses. They roll around a lot and they're big and heavy and they have a high center of gravity. The races in Canada have been exciting every year since we started racing up there. So I think that would be good. And that would definitely help. You know, you have one truck for a road course and you only race it once a year. It's kind of tough to justify that from a team perspective.
Sure.
Especially a team like us, there's not that much you can pour into it resource wise because you know you're only going to run it one time a year. And you don't spend the time on that you would on your mile and a half truck or your super speedway truck. So I think if I could pick anything, I'd say run more road courses. I'd love to go to Sonoma. I know that's a far trek to the truck series. Maybe Watkins Glen. You know, there's so many good road courses across the Southeast and the Northeast that I think would be great for the Truck Series.
Well, you've run Watkins Glen quite a bit, right?
Yeah. Actually, my first ever NASCAR win there in the K&N East Series.
Oh, yeah. I knew that, didn't I? Led you right into that one.
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. Hey. No, I've seen you run there. I knew that already. So it's one of my favorite tracks as well.
Hey, Ryan, you want to hit your sponsors and tell everyone where they can follow you?
Yeah. Well, you can follow me at Ryan_Truex on everything. And Facebook/Ryan Truex. We had Martin's Foundation on for Vegas, which was really cool. I got to thank Shiggy Hattori for letting us put his foundation on there, that Martin Truex Jr. Foundation, and we had Sherry Strong on there. So
it's awesome.
That benefits ovarian cancer awareness and childhood cancer awareness. And it was really cool to put that truck on the pole. Get some good coverage. And I really wish we could have put them in victory lane, and we were close, but we're going to get one this year for sure.
Absolutely.
We've got our Eisen Group truck ready for Martinsville, which that's another huge sponsor for us. We've run a few races with them this year too. So they're a great sponsor. That's a sponsor that Shiggy has had for a long time, back to his driving days in the Truck Series, which was like 2004 or five. So they've been a big part of Shiggy's career and a big part of his team. So looking forward to hopefully getting them a trophy too here soon.
Well, you guys, I wouldn't surprise me even a little bit to see you guys in victory lane at least one more time here. So keep up what you're doing. But before you go, I got to ask you one question. So you and your brother, my brother cheats at Monopoly. Is there one thing that your brother does that drives you absolutely crazy?
Yeah, he doesn't talk to me, man. He's like talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
So I texted him. So he got the pole in Dover. I texted him afterwards, and I said, good job, and a bunch of other stuff. He responded with two words. He said, your turn. That's all I got out of it.
Laying the gauntlet
down. I went and I did it. I got the pole, and all he said was, good job.
Yeah, all right.
Awesome.
He's a man. He's a man of many, many words.
Hey, man, that's hilarious. I love it. Hey, Ryan, man, thanks so much for joining us here on Lap Traffic Podcast. We really appreciate it. You got some fans in Detroit, I can tell you that, man. We've been following you and pulling for you, and just consider this an open-door invitation anytime you want to come on. But thanks again, Ryan Truex, driver of the number 16 Toyota Tundra for Hattori Enterprises. Thanks again, buddy.
Thanks, Ryan. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Tony, yet another fine interview on the Lap Traffic Podcast.
He's a nice guy.
Awesome. Very cool.
He's been super hard to get on the show.
Yeah,
actually.
We've been trying for a while.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. Doing good things. So,
well, to be fair,
I'm happy for him.
To be fair, we're not on the highest of priority lists with these people. So I can understand.
Surely you jest.
Like I said, it's unbelievable the amount of people we've been able to get on in our first season, and we keep adding to the list, and I'll wait forever. I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, we first started talking about him at Eldora.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he had a different PR rep, and we were going to try to get it then, and then that changed, and then I tried reaching out through, Google. found the new one.
Yeah.
And a little back and forth on email, delay, setting times up, what worked for them, what worked for us. And
good to see him with the small team doing so well.
You want to know, I agree completely.
And like John Hunter Nemechek,
yes.
Same kind of thing, right? Small team taking on the Kyle Busch Motorsports and Brad Keselowski guys. They're running with those guys and beating them. So it's pretty cool.
You know, obviously we've had a lot of small teams on, right? And they're successful. They are not all of them, obviously, but how many small teams have we had on the show that have gone out there?
And won.
Or getting top fives, getting top tens. So I can honestly say, talking to some of these guys, it's broadened my horizon and perspective as a fan in terms of, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Or maybe it is possible, and these guys just aren't out there logging laps. And there is a legitimate shot with some of these smaller teams to put some good runs together.
Building blocks, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it was cool.
So
I thought that was pretty funny too, about Martin. He doesn't seem like he's a big talker.
No. Fun. Definitely a man of small words there. Oh,
cool.
But Tony Truck Race, what'd you think of it overall?
I liked it a lot. Ryan hit on it. I mean, they're wide open all the way around. I like that term, terminal velocity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as fast as it can already go.
Yeah, and it's going.
And when you catch somebody, it's hard to get around them. But I thought it was cool. One day show, big crowd there too. They had a big crowd.
Yeah, nice turnout. Yep.
So that was cool. Yep.
Yes. No, that's got to be a lot on the team. So one day thing, especially, you know, it'd be one thing if it was a little closer to home base, but
out on
the West Coast,
you got different time zones. You know, you get 6 a.m. till what time did they load that truck and get out of there?
Late.
Midnight. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's
tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. I mean, for real, you know, no, put me on the other, you know,
the
other 6 a.m.
Yeah. Yep. Ben Rhodes brings home checkered flag there. Great battle at the end of stage two there with Christopher Bell with them. It was like four tenths of a second or whatever at the finish for that.
I know, man. And you know, and Bell's just been hotter than anything.
Knocking on the door.
And you know what? Here comes Rhodes. Here's Truex. I mean, there was a minute where Christopher Bell was just class of the field. They would just run away and hide. Well, it's not that way right now.
No. But what is very cool is we got three rookies in the top five.
I know.
For the trucks, man.
I noticed that.
Four in the top six, five in the top 10, and all eight playoff drivers finish in the top 10, which is very cool.
Yep. The guy that I just mentioned, but John Hunter Nemechek, he needs something big to happen.
Just a little bit.
Quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, that first race having mechanical problems really put him behind, and it's going to be tough for him to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is, just to remind everyone, the trucks are only going to drop off two, so we're going to have a round of six with the trucks.
Well, he's in that, too.
Yes. Well, no, he's actually in eighth right now. So he's got one race, Talladega, to try to bump up a few spots there. The nice thing is he's only 14 points off the cut line.
Right.
So 14 position points is a lot at a lot of tracks, but at Talladega, you can make up 14 spots in half a lap. So there's still a chance John Hunter might be able to sneak his way into the next round.
He can do it. I mean, he's got the talent, he's got the team, but you know, you don't want like going into that race, especially Talladega, where it's kind of a crapshoot. You know. Being behind.
Absolutely.
You know, and having to force an issue maybe.
Well, you know, and that's one thing I want to ask Ben when he comes on here in a few minutes. You know, what's the mindset switch in terms of, all right, well, going into Las Vegas, here's how we're planning out these next two races. Well, hey, we got that win now. What's the mindset like for Talladega? Are we, hey, let's go for broke, go for two? Or are we going to try to conserve the truck and, you know, just bring it home in one piece?
Yeah, you take an old chassis and just whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going for the win.
I wouldn't. They're right. Racers. Just like Ryan said.
Man. They're racers.
That's what they. That's what's in their blood. That's what they want to do.
Rip the lid off.
They're not happy seeing, the checkered flag after somebody else.
Yeah,
you know?
I get that.
So... Tony, I think Mr. Rhodes is dialing in here.
Nice.
All right. Hold on 1 second.
All right. Joining us on the line is driver of the number 27, Safe Flight Auto Glass from Thor Motorsports. And you ready for this part? And the winner of the Las Vegas 350, Ben Rhodes. How you doing, Ben?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. Coming off of a nice win out in Las Vegas. We just got back to the shop today with the hauler and took the trophy out for the first time. We were reunited. And now it's sitting proudly. Yeah. We've been reunited, and the trophy is proudly by my side, and along with the whole 2017, man, they're all pumped up.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
That is really cool. I'll tell you, you had to work for it. I mean, you earned that one. Walk us through the weekend. I mean, you started sixth. You won stage two by inches and brought the truck home to victory lane. Tell us about your night in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough night. It was definitely a hard race, and I think it was one of the more exciting races we've seen in a while from the truck series at a mile and a half. There seemed to be plenty of action the whole day. From the drop the green flag, there was accidents. Myself and Justin Haley got into each other, which was fine, Neither one of us was really bothered by that. But then later on through the pack, it kind of trickled down and got to Myatt Snyder, and he ended up the benefactor of our contact. And, you know, that caused the caution right off the bat. And then later on in the race, Johnny Sauter spun across our back bumper. I mean, we were around all the bad things that could happen, but luckily everything was on our side that night. Everything worked out. And even when things weren't going right, we were, you know, fourth place or whatever we were, and we were so far back, third place, and we were so far back. The caution came out and allowed us to reset the field, and that's what gave us that jump on the final restart to get my Safe Flight Tundra out front and into victory lane.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for certain things going right, we wouldn't be the winners. So it's kind of cool to see that happen, because the whole season we've had bad things happen to us.
Hey, well, yeah, right. Lady luck was on your side, right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you know, you gotta, you know, it's racing luck, right? And yeah, to your point, like Johnny Sauter, seemed anything that was bad going on, he happened to be right dead center all night long.
Oh yeah,
you know. But you know, as racers, you know, you have those nights, so you got to enjoy the good ones, right?
Absolutely,
absolutely, absolutely. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben. So, from our perspective, an incredible season so far through 18 races, and really since Pocono, you guys have been on fire with a bunch of top tens, top fives. Was there anything that clicked or that you guys dialed in on that made the summer racing so good and to really get dialed in there?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Pocono was really where things kind of turned around for us. Before that, Eldora, Kentucky were some low points. Eldora, Kentucky, and Iowa were really low points for us between, you know, June and July. The season's been pretty much roller coaster from the start of Daytona. You know, Daytona, I thought we were in a position to win. Atlanta, we finished third or fourth. Martinsville, we had brake failure. Kansas, we should have won. Dover, 120 laps led, should have won that one. You know, like we had a lot of really fast race strokes, and we were in the position to win a lot of races throughout the season. But, you know, just circumstances, like it kind of goes back to what you were saying, like luck was a big part of that. And we were in the wrong place, wrong time in a lot of cases, and we kind of had to step back, refocus. And really, we've been focusing on what we can control, you know, and what we can adjust on the race truck, what we have in control of on these race trucks, which is just building fast trucks mechanically through the corners and you know, getting all the grip that we can. And then with that, making sure that we get all the points that we can, because I think people are starting to find out that these stages are a lot more important than what we originally anticipated. And, you know, earlier in the season, when we were in our low points, it really hurt us, and we were falling way back behind in points. We focused on it. We got through Chicago. We got into the playoffs, and we got into the playoffs by a tiebreaker. Now we're second in points and locked in for the round of six. So
nice.
Absolutely. That's around. Right. Well, you know, and to your point about the stage points and people realizing, one of the things that Tony and I looked at as the season progressed was, you know, you saw a lot of stage points being earned on the Cup side of things. But with the Xfinity team and the truck teams, with the Cup guys coming in there and running as they do and winning those stages and winning the races for the majority, there weren't a lot of stage points to be earned by the Xfinity and truck regulars. So any points that were earned were precious points.
Hard fought points when you're trying to fight off Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that kind of comes back to when you're in the playoffs, too. Those guys that are outside of the playoffs don't count towards your championship anymore. So, you know, if you've got a guy that's in the playoffs and he's first place and the next guy that's in the playoffs is fifth, then that's a lot of points you're giving up to that first place guy.
Sure.
And, you know, that's huge. We've seen that throughout the season, the regular season. We saw that with, you know, the Cup guys coming and racing in the truck series. And now in the playoffs, you see that with playoff drivers versus non-playoff drivers and the points deficit that can create. So you really have to be on top of those other seven drivers and make sure you're in front of them that entire race. As far as I look at it right now, I'm racing seven other guys. And well, now I'm racing only five other guys, and those other five are to be determined here after Talladega.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, hey, Ben, you know, speaking of that, so walk us through a little bit for our listeners who are not as familiar as we are. Walk us through your career a little bit. How you got started? What got you to Thor Sports and Camping World Truck Series? And walk us through some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started when I was 7 years old, racing go-karts. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm 20 now, so I've been doing it about 13 years. But go-karts just around the area, started out with my family. Nobody in my family has ever raced before. I'm the first person in my family to race. Well, my brother started first, and now he doesn't race anymore. My sister doesn't. I'm the only one that's still doing it in my family. We made it from go-karts to Bandolero cars, legend cars, late model stock cars out of the Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, that whole area, that whole southern late model stock car area.
That's a hotbed of talent there, too.
It is, and it is, and a lot of historic racetracks, you know, that the Cup Series used to race at way back in the day. So a lot of history, a lot of generational drivers, and, you know, we just kind of went into the area just, you know, with the right people, the right teams, but we went into the area, and it was an unknown for us, and that's kind of like where I tried to make my name. It was the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. I actually started doing that when I was 14, so I was driving the full-size stock car before I could, you know, drive on the road.
Wow,
that's crazy.
But that's not too uncommon anymore. You see that a lot with young drivers.
Sure.
Nowadays. It's really changed. And then from there, I went to the NASCAR K&M Pro Series East, and we won some races in the late models. We won races in the Pro Series East Championship, Rookie of the Year. We won some races and poles, and that kind of helped propel me into part-time trucks and then part-time Xfinity, and now full-time trucks last year, now full-time this year, driving the number 27 Safe Flight Autoglass Toyota Tundra.
I like
nice.
It.
Nice. That's a nice condensed story there, Sarah. You did that very well.
Yeah. It was real good. You know, I think and I really like these, and we've heard other guys run. I mean, I ran Legends a little bit. I think those Legends cars are so cool, and it really, I mean, it teaches you car control. It teaches you, they're hard to drive.
I'm
a big fan of that series.
I am too. And, you know, I think if there's a series that, you know, grassroots racers really could jump on board, I think Legend Cars would be a great series for that. You know, they race at big speedways, you know, the Charlotte Motor Speedway, Kentucky Speedway, these tracks, they race on the quarter miles on the main straightaway. I mean, that's really cool. I remember going to these big tracks when I was younger, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And then not to mention all your other local tracks scattered across the country and across the world. These things are worldwide. I love them. And I still have my legend car. I drive it every once in a while. I wish it was street legal, because then I could drive it down the street and really go down memory lane.
Yeah, no, they're super cool. And you're right. You know, if any of our listeners, that's a great point. We've never talked about this. You want to get into racing. You want to try something. You know, that's not an expensive way to do it. You don't have to. Everybody runs the same engine. Everybody's running the same chassis. Everybody's running the same tire, right? So, I mean, it's a level playing field. So you just sit down, you put gas in it, check the oil, sit down and drive. You know, and it's
you make
fun.
It sound so easy. Yeah. Well, shit, I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah, okay. It's not like I said. I've raced them. It's far more difficult than that. But it's, I mean, you know what I mean. You don't have to be a car expert right off the bat. You don't have to. It's just a good learning series. So that's cool.
Hey, Ben. NASCAR came out with some rule changes for 2018 for the Cup Series today. Anything you'd like to see NASCAR make a change for with the Truck Series, whether it be from the car, where you go,
tracks,
aero, anything you personally would like to see them do?
Oh, gosh. so if I was NASCAR president for a day, we're going to play this game. I can play this game. I've played this game before, and it's a fun game to play.
I like it. Go, man.
All right. So if I was NASCAR president, I would like to see taking the trucks to more one-off events. You know, I would like to see going to more of the short tracks, getting away from some. I would like to have it where you have to have our super speedway trucks, for example. We're building our Talladega truck right now. I'm in the shop. I'm watching the guys through the window of our office as I'm talking on the phone with you guys. They are building the Talladega truck, and we're getting ready. The Talladega truck is a different animal compared to our intermediate truck. The intermediate truck is a different animal compared to the short track truck. So we build these things differently. So I would like to see going to more short tracks and local tracks, meaning, you know, we go somewhere like a Myrtle Beach. and we help get some of these tracks built back up. Like, I would love to see Myrtle Beach with safer barriers, the lights, the nice facilities. Now, this would be a huge investment, but I would love to see some of these. And you don't have to go to Myrtle Beach, but some of these other local tracks are really, really nice as it is. I would like to go back to ORP or IRP.
I love
IRP.
You
know, some of these. Yeah, I would love to go to some of these tracks that don't have schedules right now and aren't on the schedule with the truck series and try it out and get away from, you know, some of the tracks that teams have a long history at that are dominant at, and go to some of these other ones that, you know, you have to make a new setup when you get there, and people just don't have data on these tracks and books on these tracks. I think that would be pretty neat to kind of change the schedule up a little bit like that.
Well, so speaking of one-off setups and one-off, you know, whatever, what are your thoughts on, actually, that's where we met you, was at Eldora.
Yeah, you know, I like Eldora, I really do. I think it's a fun race, but it's a tough race to have in the points playoffs. But I don't know if there's really any other way to do it, but it's definitely fun. I look forward to going there just because it's so different. It's so unique. You get to drive the truck in a totally different way. It's a breath of fresh air. Although we had a really bad experience at Eldora this year. I did have fun overall. I just look back at it and I have a really bad memory in my head. Our Martinsville truck, it was totaled there and we just never got going off the bat. It was just a bad race from the start, but it's whatever. It's a fun race and I know the fans love it. It's just something unique that you get to see. And I think that's kind of goes back to what I was saying, where, you know, you go to some of these other smaller tracks where, like Myrtle Beach, it's worn out. You have to save tires. I raced there in the late models. I mean, I would be half throttle for majority of the race. And then at the end, you would go full throttle and get after it. It's just a lot of fun. It's a different type of racing. And I think that would be a unique experience.
Where you have to manage the race.
You have to manage it a little more.
Almost like Atlanta or something that.
Yeah. So, like, I'm a little disappointed now. I mean, so, you know, his teammate is Matt Crafton, who had a wildly different experience at Eldora. Matt didn't help you at all?
So, well, Matt's not a dirt racer, really. Well, I mean, he's got a dirt car, but he doesn't have a ton more. Well, I shouldn't say that. He's got a dirt modified that he runs, but it's, you know, as far as dirt racers go, I relied a lot on Rico, who was a teammate for that race. I relied a lot on Christopher Bell, a Toyota Racing teammate. So I relied on a lot of those dirt guys.
That's some pretty good resources right there.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Oh, yeah. I gave Kyle Larson a call or two. Yeah. Wow. You know, those were good guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, so you guys are heading into an off week and wrapping up round one, heading into a wild card at Talladega. Can you go over maybe a little bit what the mindset was like before the drop of the green flag at Vegas and now the mindset now that you came home with the checkered flag heading into Talladega and the rest of the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a good question, because before Vegas, we were really just focused on getting points, honestly, because we were so good from New Hampshire. We went from like 7th or 8th place at New Hampshire in the playoffs to 4th at Vegas, and we had a pretty good cushion to now, you know, after Vegas, we're 2nd place in points. We're locked into the round of 6. Before Vegas, like I said, we're just worried about points, just doing our thing, being conservative, take the opportunity if it's there. The opportunity presented itself, and we got the win. Now Talladega, I mean, we don't have to worry about a thing. This truck races at Talladega for the rest of the year, and that's it. And we don't go with the mindset, oh, we're going to wreck this truck, but we're going to use it to get the win. And we're not going to hold back saying, oh, well, we have to race this truck later in the year, so I may not bump here or know, have to take care of it here or take care of it there. You know, I can be aggressive and you know, I feel like those playoff drivers are going to be aggressive too, but they have to be worried about wrecking out. And I can make moves without hesitation.
It's a nice peace of mind to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely. You know, yeah. even guys like Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton, you know, they are really good on points, but just because they're good on more points doesn't mean they're locked in. You know, anything can happen. It could be lap one, something could happen, and they could be out of the championship just like that.
Well, yeah, it was Snyder that spun on lap one.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Or yeah, I mean,
yeah, yeah, Mike Snyder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he completed one lap.
Yeah,
and his, you know, his truck was wiped out. So you're exactly right. So yeah, you gotta be careful. But I have to ask you. So first win, did you get a chance to do anything fun after the race, or is that this weekend?
Well, that was So the story is, as Vegas, you have to be 21 to do everything. And seeing as I'm only 20, there really wasn't much for me to do. So I went
I saw a tweet that you put out.
Yeah, I told him I was going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. That's about all I can do in Vegas. But I don't think there's a Chuck E. Cheese really in Vegas. I don't see that as the place for kids. But no, I did go back to the hotel, and my parents, some family was down in the lobby at the bar, and I go down, and they weren't even at the bar. They were just like in the lounge area around it. And they were about as far away as you could get from the bar and still be like kind of in the restaurant. And I sit down. And the lady comes rushing over. She says, "How old are you?" And I go, 21. And, of course, my mom's like, "Yeah, whatever. He's 20. And then she's like, "Oh, well, you're going to have to leave." I'm like, "Dadgummit." So I go upstairs and order room service, and that was my victory celebration.
That's great.
Room service and sleep.
I would have walked in with the trophy and been like,
Now what?
Can I? You sure I can't sit here?
Can you fill this up, please?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fill that, and I'll take a straw. But you know, what's funny is I always joke about Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, because it's never too early to teach your kids about gambling and poor nutrition. You know, it's.
You know, it really is a casino for kids.
It is.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Except you're always losing at Chuck E. Cheese.
That's right.
Always.
You put in the money and you get tickets for a prize that was not worth the money
Right. hey, Ben, you want to tell everyone how they can follow you and hit your sponsors?
Yeah, absolutely. Safe Flight Auto Glass is our sponsor of the number 27 truck this year. So, if you guys are following along on Fox Sports 1, watch us, number 27. We're fast, or so I think. We just won Vegas anyways. But BenRoads.com. Go on there. We got all of our website, all of our merchandise. So if you guys think that we looked okay on the racetrack, you want to support us, BenRoads.com is the place to go. It's got our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And Instagram, I like to post up a lot of like day-to-day stuff on my stories. So if you're going to follow us, give us a follow on that.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And what's it? Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace, right?
You got it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's when you get into a wreck. They're like, you and so-and-so got together. I'm like, yeah, Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace. That guy.
That's awesome. Hey, big thanks, Ben, for coming on Lap Traffic tonight. You really appreciate it. Like I said, you got fans in Detroit, and now you got them all over the world. Thanks to our podcast.
Oh yeah, thanks to us. Yeah,
you know,
yeah. That's it.
No, I mean, you got to. I'm so glad Al Gore invented the internet so that we can do this. But seriously though, I mean, we got to build a brand. We're racer guys. We're grassroots guys, and we're really pulling for you. So thanks again, Ben Rhodes, driver of the number 27. Safe Flight Auto Glass from Thor Motorsports and the winner of Las Vegas 350. Thank you for coming on the show.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Hey, another fantastic interview.
I had to walk him. I saw this tweet and I cracked up.
That's
probably the funniest tweet I've seen in recent memory. You know, hey, great, I'm going to go out and have fun. Hopefully there's a Chuck E. Cheese open somewhere around here because I'm not 21. I can't do anything.
The difference between winning this year and if he wins next year in Vegas with the victory celebration will be a night and day difference.
Wildly different. He has no idea how different. But that's cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's awesome. You want to hit some social media?
I do. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, listen, download. Leave us some comments on Podbean or iTunes preferably. Don't forget about our contest. We're giving away that Eldora short shirt that both of our guests tonight have signed. Ryan Truex and Ben Rhodes are on that shirt.
That's where we met those guys.
So retweet that. 2,500 followers, we're giving that away. Tony, you ready for some shout outs to some new followers?
Yeah, we got some new listeners.
We do. Brenda Arcelnut Patellar from Dalton, New Hampshire. Big Kevin Harvick fan, so you've won me over.
I noticed you put her first.
Of course, yes.
Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Welcome. Over on Twitter, Christian Chloe at Chloe Christensen from Tennessee, contributor to On Pit Road and FrontStretch.com. Welcome to the show. Matt Lacombe at Lacombe_Matthew, another Michigander and big NASCAR fan. So welcome to the show.
Marion Thomason at Marion1856 loves all things NASCAR, as do we.
Yep.
John Miller at Thunderbud83, big Steelers fan and NASCAR fan. So we'll be waiting for you, Ben, or John, sorry. I was thinking of Big Ben with the Steelers there when the Lions host the Steelers here in a couple weeks for Sunday Night Football. I am looking forward to that. And Tori at CarolinaGirl95 from North Carolina. Guys, welcome to the show. Check it out. Tell your friends. And thanks for following. Don't forget to check out our website, $15 t-shirts if you want to support the show. Check out our fantasy standings, see some pictures, see who's coming up on the show, who's been on the show. All of that is on our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I'm going to try to get some stickers and koozies out this weekend. I've got some enough requests where it'll be worth me sitting down for half an hour to fill all that out. If you want a sticker, some koozies, whatever, fill out our contact us page on our website with your address and we'll get that out to you. If you've been to a race, you want to share a story like we got last week, an awesome story about two guys that went to New Hampshire and were standing around and they were given hot passes. So stuff like that happens in our sport, which is awesome. So if you want to share something with us about that, we'll be happy to share it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you guys want to send us anything, which happens from time to time, and we always appreciate that, putting it up here in the NASCAR Man Cave on display, you can do that by sending it to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, nice job on fantasy this weekend.
I told you, man, I'm cracking a whip.
You went full throttle. You were the only person, which surprised me, to pick Kyle Busch. And you got the W. Nice job, sir.
Thank you.
However, there is a but to this.
Oh, I got a big gap in there. I got work to do.
This was one of the highest scoring weeks of our league this season. To date was this past weekend. 19 out of 30 players scored 10 points, getting top fives. So while a lot of people got points, that didn't help many people in the standings because it kind of just all shifted up. That said, Cody is still in first with 205 points. Aaron and Mick are in second with 190. Tony, you did bump up to third with Rich West and Chris Lowther at 175.
I've moved up two spots in the last
couple
weeks.
Yes, you did. Yes. Kevin and Chatter in fourth with 170. And Chris Coble is in fifth with 165. And the professor moved up a spot to 10th with 135. So, the professor definitely is not winning this thing by any means, but I am shooting for at least a tie with top five. That's maybe not out of the realm of possibilities there.
I got to believe. Is Cody, I mean, who's he have left him? He's got to be like David Reagan.
He's consulting.
I mean, who's he running? I mean, at this point, I mean, he's killing us.
He is. He's got it dialed in. He's definitely dialed in.
No, he does for sure.
Everyone, make sure you get your picks submitted this week for Charlotte. And I have a personal request to everyone that's playing, everyone that wants to play. Tony, I can't tell you how many times we've got messages asking how people can play. You know, it was kind of like a full season kind of thing. So I have a feeling, not that I want to toot our own horn, but I got a feeling next season a lot of people are going to want to play. And no offense to all of our listeners, Brandon doesn't want to do this all by hand like he's been doing this year.
It's a lot of work. Guys, you got to understand, I mean, so, and I'll give full credit where credit's due. Brandon engineers everything here, all the sound effects, all everything, phone calls, everything that we do. He does our social media page. He's mailing stuff out. He's handling every one of you guys that send your picks in for fantasy. He's manually scoring that in a spreadsheet. He's working his butt off. So we're going to try and think of a way to automate this a little
bit. If we can lighten the load a little bit on my end, that'd be appreciated. Yeah. So that said, you know, like I play in a Yahoo league and someone sent in a suggestion, you know, to maybe do Yahoo. You know, if there are any suggestions for a fantasy site that you guys use, whether it's by grouping, by salary, whatever it is, please send that my way so we can take a look at that over the off weekend so that we can maybe make this a little bit more of an automated process. That way I'm not hounding you guys with emails and all of that. And,
well, yeah, then you can just go in anytime during the week and
make your picks,
you know,
and go from there. So it'd
be a lot easier.
If you've got suggestions for that, please feel free to tweet me, send an email, send a contact form on our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Email me, whatever, and we'll make sure next year's is bigger and better than this year. And one other final reminder here for our social media stuff here. We are going to do a little parody awards kind of thing at the end of the year. We're going to put up a little survey on our website. If you've got suggestions for who should be nominated for Race of the Year, Driver of the Year, Parody Account of the Year, or if you got a suggestion for a category, send that over to us.
Yeah, and we're just going to have a little fun with it.
We're going to have fun, little bonus show kind of thing, something to have fun with to wrap up the season there. And that does it. I'm long-winded. Tony, talk to me about Xfinity.
Xfinity. Mr. William Byron. Went out there, man. He dominated stage one.
Every lap, right?
Yes, he did.
That's nuts.
He officially took over.
Yeah.
And then it turned into the Ryan Blaney show.
And you know, I got to be honest, I missed something. And this is maybe my fault that I need to take a little bit better responsibility for. I was under the impression that Cup guys weren't allowed to race in the Xfinity playoffs.
So was I.
Okay. All right.
But I'm going to tell you, so there's. Whatever, we've talked about this, you know, till we're purple.
Yeah.
So look at right now. Look at the standings.
Yep.
Brandon Gaughan is out.
Yeah.
By 2 points. Okay. You know those 2 points were this week?
Yep.
Ryan Blaney and Daniel Suarez.
Yeah.
Finished in front of him.
Yep.
He'd be even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This stuff does count. You
absolutely.
Know, so don't tell me it doesn't count in, you know, look at Ryan Newman, but he'd lose by 3.
Yeah.
You know, so. When it's messing with the playoffs now.
Yeah, I don't know where I missed that. You know, obviously it's based on time logged, basically, to where he was still able to run. But yeah, I totally missed that. I thought once the playoffs started, those guys were.
I'll be honest with you, I would have lost a bet on that one.
I would have too. Yeah, I don't know how I missed that. But I digress. Second race for the Xfinity playoffs there, sir. They got one more to go, and it's tight down there towards the cutoff line.
Yeah, it is. It's tightening up a lot. Man, you look at the playoff guys are just jumped right up to the top. They're all gathered together right there. I mean,
it's Allgaier, Byron, Hemric, all those guys up there at the top with the results there.
It's tight for sure, and there's going to be some pushing and shoving in the next, you know.
Absolutely.
Next.
Tony, I thought this race was going to be very long. 3 cautions during stage one, but then things
settled in. Yep. Nope.
So, Tony, we got 1 week left to go here at Charlotte. I got to tell you, I get a little confused here with the all three series ending round one at different races. What do you like that? Do you not like that? I don't know if they could choreograph it to where they all end at the same one.
It's a little confusing. To be honest,
like they started the Cup at Chicago,
maybe that's what that draws them.
It's possible.
I mean, you know, you want to see the final race of the final race in the final race.
Yeah,
that's what I'm guessing, but it's a little confusing.
A little bit,
Not gonna lie,
Tony. You know, I know we're big Jeremy Clement fans here since he was nice enough to come on our show after he got that win.
That
so
was cool.
Obviously, we're paying extra attention to how Jeremy's doing. Unfortunately, he's sitting 12th. But he's only 20 points off the cut line there, so there's a small chance those guys could maybe sneak in.
I'll be honest with you, they're running more than respectable.
Oh, absolutely.
They really are.
Absolutely. For a team that no one would have bet on them to make the playoffs, 100%.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully, and that's why we like having some of these smaller team guys on the show, is, you know, hopefully some of these good things that are going on, maybe that translates into another sponsor. You know, they can go out and buy that new chassis like we were talking about earlier with Ryan. You know, that means a lot to these teams. And, you know, stuff like that, if we can help promote them, guys, look them up, tag them, follow them, you know, and all that stuff does count.
So absolutely.
That's good stuff.
Absolutely. Tony, it was an interesting round one finale over at Dover for the Cup guys today. On Sunday. Brad Keselowski won stage one. Kyle Larson wins stage two. Kyle Busch is the winner of the race. Things got spread around there in terms of who won. The one guy who was not in the conversation there for winning anything was Martin Truex Jr., which I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I had to do a double take to make sure I scored all that right there, made sure of that.
Yeah, he was only fourth.
He was only fourth. You know,
awful. Off week.
You know, those guys got to go back. They got to relook at some notes. You know,
maybe Ryan could text him, do better.
Two words, do better.
Tony, you know, as we talk about giving credit to where credit is due, not that it was anywhere near the season that they wanted to have, but sometimes you just got to look at, you know, what's good for the at the present time. Solid day for Junior.
He really did.
Started seventh, finished seventh, kept it clean. I mean, unfortunately, you know, and it's a bummer for him. It's a bummer for the team and Junior Nation that's what they have to look at from a positive. But you know what? From a team that has struggled all year, they had a great day, you know, and that's something they need to hang their head on.
Hendrick Motorsports
had a great day.
They had a good day. This is the best run collectively that I've seen them have in quite some time.
Great point. 100%. Solid day for some other non-chasers. Clint Boyer finished sixth, and Suarez finished eighth. So, you know, just because you're out of it doesn't mean you can't, you know, get there's, a top and finish
like
and
said,
all
they're
that.
Still racers.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't, you know, doesn't matter there.
Tony, a lot of NASCAR was rooting for Chase Elliott there towards the end of the race. Almost got his first career win and put the 24 car in victory lane for the first time in just under 2 years. Tony, what's your thought on the 31? Did he do anything wrong there at the end of the race? Did he hold Chase up? What's your take on that?
You know what? I think everybody across the board, you know, even you throw in, you know, Jeff Gordon and Ryan Newman at the end, I think Ryan was right. I think Jeff was right. I think Chase was right. I think they all had their points. But you think about it. So here's my two cents on it. Chase got hung up behind him, but Chase also knew that Kyle had fresher tires, and he was closing fast. Chase and or his team should have taken the opportunity to change their line. Somebody needed to tell Chase, hey, run high. You know, Kyle's coming fast. He's running high. Change your line. Try something. Even if you run high and get in his way, you only needed to get in his way for a mile and a half. You know, there's that. Ryan Newman is under no obligation whatsoever to let them pass. So I see his point. At the same point, you know, he's out. You know, he with two laps to go, he was not going to pass three cars, and he could have let them by. The only thing that I can see in there is maybe a call from Detroit from Chevy. You know, a Chevy car should have let a Chevy car go by so that the Toyota didn't win.
Hey, yeah.
That's the other one. And then Jeff Gordon had a point. Hey, thanks for the help.
Right.
But then Ryan is like, hey, I don't have to help you, dude.
Right.
You know, so I think there's enough to go around. I think Chase learned a lesson.
Well, I tell you, know, so that's, it was a bummer.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Now,
I blame NBC. They tweeted out, there was a pop-up on their app.
Yeah.
20 laps to go, 10 laps to go, or something like that. Chase Elliott's leading, you know, with 10 laps to go or something like that.
I'll let you take that up with Rick Allen. So a couple of the takeaways that I have for this are, number one, it is notoriously documented that Ryan Newman is one of the hardest guys to pass on the racetrack.
Without question.
All right. And that is no fault to Ryan Newman. No. Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson even went over and you know, gave some condolences, if you will, to Chase. Like, hey, don't worry about it. They're going to come. You know, and that's just a credit to a solid team foundation there. But, you know, while, like you said, Chase could have maybe switched the lineup a little bit or whatever, I got to give props to Chase Elliott for being able to recognize the situation. You know, he might be a little frustrated. We don't know in terms of the fact of Austin Dillon's won before him. Ricky Stenhouse has gotten a win before him. And here he is in HMS and still doesn't have that win. But he recognized on the track at a late race while leading, I'm probably going to get passed here. I could throw a block. I might spin. I might take us both out. But the difference is Kyle already has the win and is moving on regardless if he got taken out. Chase put the bigger picture into perspective here of, hey, we need points. And so, you know, from that, that could be a whole new level of maturity, that last lap there, that who knows what could open up with that there. So huge props for being able to have a mature mentality of, oh, let's not throw a block. Let's not get in. Let's not bump. You know, hey, he's coming up fine. The only downfall I have is there was a story written that lap traffic held him up. And I'm sorry. Yeah. We weren't there. It was not our fault.
It was on Yahoo homepage. Chase Elliott laments lap traffic. I'm like, we had no idea it was not us.
I tweeted that out. I absolved us from that situation. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Don't blame us.
It was not us.
No, I think, like I said, I think you know, there's legitimate arguments from these people, and then they're at fault as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a racing deal.
Tony, something that crossed my mind when I was putting the show together was that, you know, a lot of people, myself including, I didn't think the 17 team was going to make it through to the next round. Now that they have, everyone's talking about Talladega with Stenhouse. Something tells me, I don't know, maybe we should get our old buddy Mike Herman Jr. on to see if he'd like to talk about Talladega.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I get him every once in a while. Wow.
Where'd that come from?
Hey, you know. Tony, round one's over.
Yeah. Do you think, backing up a little bit, do you think Stenhouse, I think his luck runs out. He's been running the table here. I don't know. Can he run well again?
Personally, I don't think he gets through. I personally am not buying into the whole restrictor plate thing. We'll see. Hey, I'd be happy to be proven wrong. I'd love to see these younger guys taking over the sport. You know, I think it's only going to help. It would draw a lot of attention to the sport if he gets the win. You know, I guess I look at it from this regard. I don't see him winning at Charlotte or Kansas. Talladega is probably going to have to be it for him. I don't know. I personally don't.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
Yep.
Tony, round one's over. Going into round one, I thought Kurt Busch might have been able to make a push for things because his last few races before the playoffs started, it seemed like things maybe were clicking a little bit.
Yep.
But luck was not on his side. Tony, that's really the only shocker for me is that Kurt's out and Stenhouse is in. Ryan Newman, Austin Dillon, Casey Kane, those were my bottom three there. Any shocker on who makes it in and who didn't make
it in? No, I think it's pretty much, you know, the usual suspects I thought maybe Ryan Blaney could make it in because he's such a good points racer.
Blaney is in.
I mean, not Blaney, I meant Newman.
Newman, okay. Ryan Newman.
You know, he's such a good points racer. That would have been the one that I thought would have advanced. Obviously, he came three spots away.
Sure. Yeah, he was right there. Tony, we got some tweets sent out to us, which then sparked me asking for it, and we got a lot of good response here in terms of people giving their predictions for round two. So I'm going to run through some of these, and then I'm going to have you chime in with yours here. Does that sound good there?
Sure.
So we started getting tweets of people picking their predictions and who they thought was going to be out at the end of round two. So Craig at @shoots_smolders thinks the 18 is going to win at Charlotte. Keselowski at Dega, which I'm kind of agreeing with Craig on that one. And the 78 at Kansas. He's got Stenhouse, Kenseth, McMurray, and Blaney out after round two. Kurt Kevin for the cup at Scotty Styles 29 has the 48 winning Charlotte, the 17 winning Dega, and Kevin Harvick winning Kansas with the 20, 11, 21, and 2 out. Hugh at Bucky 515 is torn between the 18 or 78 at Charlotte. Blaney at Dega, 42 at Kansas, too early for him to guess on who's out. Jess at Nitro Copeland has Brad winning Charlotte. Chase rebounding and getting the win at Dega, the 18 at Kansas, the 17, 21, 1, and the 4 are out for Jess. Rich at R. Zeger, 71, has the 4 winning Charlotte, the 88 winning at Dega and spoiling it.
That'd be big.
The 78 winning Kansas, 17, 1, 11, and 21 out. Sterling at CLT2 crew has the 78 winning at Charlotte, 88 at Dega, 78 at Kansas, 11, 24, 1, and 20 out. Mark at MW_racefan1877, 18 at Charlotte, 2 at Dega, 78 at Kansas. And Mick at GoDucks42_Mick has 78 at Charlotte, the 22 at Dega, the 42 at Kansas, 17, 21, 11, and 1 out. So thanks for those responses, guys. Appreciate that. Nice to see some new followers in there as well. Tony, there's a lot of mixture of responses there. Some of the common trends I noticed, people are thinking the 17, the 11, and the 20 are out. And to be honest with you, Denny Hamlin, I haven't heard his name mentioned hardly at all. Like, in terms of TV time. You know, they've quietly plucked their way through, and I got to agree with people. I think that could be a possibility. So I've got the 42 winning Charlotte, Brad Keselowski at Dega, and I'm praying for the four at Kansas. And I've got McMurray, Stenhouse, Hamlin, and Chase Elliott out after round two. What do you got there, sir?
Do I have to give my pick now?
Yeah.
Oh, so you picked the 42 for Charlotte?
I picked the 40. This doesn't have to count towards fantasy. Okay. This is just... Right.
Well, that's who I'm going to go with.
Okay.
That's I had down anyways.
Okay.
And I'll put it down.
I'm
going to
double check. 42. Your official...
My official
sticky
score
note from nine shows ago.
It's the beginning of the year. This thing's a mess, but it's all there.
So you got the 42 at Charlotte.
Yep. I'm going deuces wild. 42.
Two.
I'm going two.
All right.
And then the guy who's everybody's counting out.
Yeah.
The 20.
20 at Kansas. All right. So who's
I think he's the guy that can shake it up, honestly.
I do too. Who do you got out? Who's not making it through?
I'm going with Stenhouse, McMurray, you know, those guys I think for sure. Man, it's the four car, you know.
If the four doesn't win at Kansas, I would not be shocked if they don't make it through to the next round. They have not had a good few races
and
here.
And maybe even the 21, Ryan Blaney. So
interesting.
Guess we'll see. Silly season continues.
Yes, sir. Tony, what'd you think of the Bubba Wallace Domino's tweets? That was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was, but I didn't get it. I'm like, why is he laying on Domino's? I didn't know if they had a history. I didn't know.
Well, he posted a video on a golf course.
Yeah, I know, but he'd done some other stuff prior to that,
right.
leaning on Domino's. Yeah. And
well, you know, something tells me that wasn't maybe as naturally scripted as they wanted it to maybe look. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking too deep into things, but
I have no idea.
You know, hey, and there's nothing wrong with it if it was, you know, a little planned thing,
little,
you know.
Guerrilla marketing isn't bad either.
No, absolutely. Tony, some penalties came out right before we started here.
Daniel Hamrick,
he
got hit hard. That's gonna hurt him. I mean, we're backing up to Xfinity, but you know, he had a piece of one of his ballast weights, tungsten, fell out. Fortunately, it fell out on pit road. Where nobody around. If that would have fallen out on the track, that would have been really, really bad. It's like a 15, 20-pound chunk of lead, basically. That would have been bad.
That'd have caused some damage.
Well, it would have. I mean, it would have done some serious damage to a car or three.
Well, the one thing that before we started, you know, the crew chief, the car chief, the engineer suspended. The one thing I didn't see a mention of is points.
Yeah,
but I'd have to think if your crew chief's getting suspended, that's typically tied to a points penalty somewhere.
That's something that they don't. I mean, and that's not a new rule. That's nothing. I mean, that's gone. You go to jail. Go directly to jail. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yep.
But I would have swore there was a pretty decent points penalty in there.
I would think. I don't know. Maybe
I haven't seen that yet.
Missed that.
A tough break though. I mean, you know, random thing. Now here's the good news. So I don't know if it's good news or not, but he's going to be missing so the key people from his team. Now, RCR, he's part of RCR, they don't have a car in the playoffs at Cup level. Maybe they can take some of those top Cup guys and fill in for a couple weeks. So fingers crossed for Daniel as he moves forward here in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Tony, you ready to do a little work here?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the lap traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. All right, welcome to another segment of the Crew Chief Corner. Tony, switching it up a little bit, just because NASCAR came out with the rules package change here for next year. Tony, can you talk to us a little bit about some of these changes? Spoiler is going to stay the same. Common flat splitter. I got to be honest. Just the fact that I've heard splitter just has pissed me off royally. Well, you know, that was something I wanted to see
it's
gone.
It's a little different though. It's not going to be this exactly the same.
Talk to me.
So that's going to look a little bit different. Not going to be typically what we see as a splitter. So it's going to look a little bit different. They're going to put an oil cooler on it, which is going to cool the engines a little bit. Remember, now we get a new engine package as well, so that's going to be a key thing. They're going to go with one gear at all tracks, except repaves and reconfigurations, which is usually have an alternate gear or two that you can play with a little bit.
Now, what's that do for the car on the track?
Rev it higher, rev it lower. You know, get in the power band where your engine really performs well, where you want it. Where there, that's it. That's what you got is what you got. So,
that's so will that hurt the super speedway tracks, or will it play more of an impact on the shorter tracks?
Everybody's running the same gear.
Okay.
You know, make power.
Okay.
So that's what they got to go after. So. Super speedways, the one thing that they are doing is they changed the rear end a little bit, where now super speedways, they would put different springs in there to get them lower and get that spoiler out of the air where the car is going to be there. Now, they're taking a little bit of downforce off the front and putting it on the back so they won't be as tail happy. A little more balanced car. They didn't do a lot of changes, to be honest with it. It all sounds like there's a bunch of stuff. There's really not.
Now, the changes that they made to the rear of the car, did that have anything to do with the fact of all of these penalties that we've had for the rear part of the car? Is that not related there too much?
I think they're trying to glue that down a little bit better.
Okay.
So that's a lot of the little things that they're doing. You know, restrictor plates all stay the same. It's not a huge change, honestly.
Okay.
So that's good. I think the package they have is pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I'd just like to see a little bit more aero change on the track to make it so that the only way to pass at some of these places isn't on the restart. You know, I like the restarts, but, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, on-track mid-race passing a little bit.
Sure.
Tony, the engine change, you know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago when they talked about the short block sealed engine. Talk to us a little bit about that difference between the block-style engines.
So will they talk about a long block and a short block? It sounds confusing. It's not. A short block is honest to goodness, that's all it is it's an engine block, you know, a crankshaft, pistons, and an oil pan. That's it. A long block then is just all you did is add cylinder heads to it. That's it. That's the only difference. Now, so the difference is you'll be able to freshen up. You'll get new cylinder heads on there. So you have nice power to be pretty fresh. But you're going to have to conserve. You're going to have to be real careful on the bottom half, treat those pistons nice and not push the bottom half of that motor real, real hard. So they're going to have to play it a little careful. So, but I think that's where the oil cooler comes in. It should give it a little extended life. So.
And the backup car has to be unloaded without an engine installed. What, is there any significance behind that there?
Well, you know, honestly, like we saw at Michigan, Jimmy Johnson wrecked his car in final practice. They unloaded the backup car, and they pulled the engine out of it anyways.
Right.
You know, so I don't know that it's a big thing or not, but, you know, that maybe save a few bucks for some of the teams. I don't know.
Okay. All righty. Anything else, sir?
Nope. That's good. It. I mean, not a lot there. It's a pretty static report.
All right.
So it's pretty good.
You ready for some lucky dogs?
I am.
Tony, who's your lucky dog of the race weekend?
It's got to be Kyle Busch.
Absolutely.
I mean, he worked hard, and you could tell he got out of the car. He was exhausted. That was everything he had.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Tony, for me, it's the 2014 for being smart on the track at the end of the race. That is, I think, a key moment in things to come for the 2014.
Yep.
Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I got to go back with Daniel Hemric. You know, a simple thing. Somebody in the fab shop just didn't bolt that ballast in, and it's a bad time for that to happen in the playoffs.
Fair enough. Tony, I'm stepping off the NASCAR lap down and putting the New England Patriots a lap down.
Oh, yeah.
2-2, losing to a last-second field goal. This is not the New England team. These boys need to get it together. Even though we are a Detroit-based podcast with our Lions, everyone knows I'm a diehard Tom Brady slappy, so I'm putting the New England Patriots lap down.
That's fair.
Over to some listener picks. Craig at @shoots_smolders. Lucky dog is the 18 for running down the 24, and his lap down is the 24 for not being able to seal the deal. That's
fair.
Can't argue. Hugh at Bucky515's lucky dog. Fans in Vegas got to see the best race of the weekend. Lap down, Hemric losing frame weight. Andrew at Cantsian's lucky dog is the 17 for a gutsy first round call. I remember that. They stayed out and they were getting torn to pieces on social media there for that move, but it worked out for him. And the 21 team looks lost, which they kind of do. I'm not going to argue with you there. NASCAR Ponderings at NASCAR Thinkings. Lucky dog is Junior with the top 10. Lap down, 21 team is moving in the opposite direction.
Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog is the 18 team. Damn, that boy can drive. And his lap down is the 18 team for stepping on the puppy.
That boy can drive.
Yes, he can. Steve at SC Linden's lucky dog is Ben Rhodes. And Steve is putting himself a lap down because he's still upset over the fact that 24 lost.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Nope. Troy at Spoiler Warning 1's lucky dog is Tad Pospisil. I have no idea how to pronounce that name there.
Pospisil?
Maybe. Winning the Malvern SLMR Championship. And his lap down is Rocket Man for holding up Chase Elliott. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mick's lucky dog is the 18 team for getting up on the wheel. And his lap down is the fact that Jeff Gluck's pole was probably destroyed by one lap in terms of whether or not it was a good race or
a
bad race.
Yeah, went from a great race to not a great race in about a lap and a half.
Yes. So thanks to everyone for submitting your lucky dog picks. And make sure you get those in next week. And happy to see some new people there. So make sure you send us your picks.
Yeah, very good. Hey, you know, one of the things I want to point out too, something we've been talking about before. There's an event coming up on Friday. It's a charity event where some of the NASCAR significant others are racing Bandolero cars for charity. It's called the Better Half Dash. And I'd like to point that out. I mean, so like Jeremy Bullens, the crew chief for Ryan Blaney, who's been on our show, his wife is driving.
Yep.
Brad Keselowski's wife, Paige, is actually sitting on the pole. Kate Tomino is starting third. Kate is the PR rep for J.J. Yaley. But if you go to betterhalfdash.com, you can read their bio, read who they're, you know, whatever. They're married to the front tire carrier for a car, whatever. But they all are racing for their own charity. So you can go on there and make a tax-deductible donation. It all goes for a good cause and should be a little bit of fun, too.
Very nice. Tony, you want to wrap this bad boy up here with some odds and get out of here?
Let's get odd.
All right. It took me a second there. I just got that. Over from Dover, I put Jimmy Johnson at plus 500. He came in at plus 800. I put Brad Keselowski at plus 750. He came in at plus 1200. I put Matt Kenseth at plus 900. He came in at plus 1200. This week, heading into Charlotte, shaking things up a little bit, putting Chase Elliott at plus 850. Jamie McMurray, who's won over at Charlotte before, at plus 1,000. And Denny Hamlin, I'm putting at the underdog at plus 1,500. So those are my odds heading into Charlotte. Podcast Pick'ems, Tony, we're back on top.
We are.
I had the 42. You had the 18. Sherwin had the 2 of Brad Keselowski, and Rusty had the 78 of Martin Truex. We snuck by there with a best finish there, putting us up 8-7 heading into the home stretch here.
It's close.
That's it, Tony. So you're going with the 42?
I'm going with the 42. Yeah.
All right, Tony. You know, I've only taken him once. Odds are he's going to shit the bed since I'm taking him. I'm going to take the 78. Martin Truex Jr. is my pick for Charlotte.
I don't think it's a bad pick at all.
Hey, if he gets me 5 points, 10 points, I'll be happy. Tony, let's wrap this up here. What do you say?
Do it, man. Who's on next week?
It's going to be a good one. We're going to throw caution to the wind here with next week's guest. He's been on before. He's been on twice, actually. NASCAR Chasm. Had to come on one last time before the season ends.
From NASCAR.com.
From NASCAR.com.
And if you don't follow on Twitter, you need to. Honestly, you need to go on Twitter just to follow him.
Yes.
If you're a NASCAR fan at all, he is hysterical.
Yes. And very knowledgeable, too.
He is, man. Yep. He's a pretty great guy. Kaz is a good dude, so that'll be a lot of fun. And big thanks again to Ryan Truex and Ben Rhodes, the winner this last week, for joining us. So we had the pole sitter and the winner. How about that?
It's awesome.
In one week. So thanks again for those guys joining us. And make sure you tune in each and every week. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya!